This is Rhema for today.
I said, I'm not going to do a thing in the world about it. What are you going to do about it? Well, he said, I'm going to get up Sunday and forbid my people to go. I said, you're very foolish, because just sure as you forbid them to go, they'll all go. He said, what are you going to do? I said, he's no threat to me. Well, I said, what competition is a mule barn to a grocery store? I'm feeding my people. Amen. He's no threat to me. I'm not going to mention that he's there. I'm just going to ignore him.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, The Secret to My Success, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
It's just simply not reason that those in the ministry should leave the Word of God and get into secular things. Spend your time with a lot of other things. And even in a lot of things connected with the church. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men, number one, of honest report, number two, full of the Holy Ghost, and number three, wisdom. Now get this, whom we may appoint over this business. That is really the only business that the early church had right at this time, because they didn't have any church buildings. The only business they had was they had all things common. People sold their possession, gave them the money. These people handled that. Gave out to people in the daily ministration. Everybody had all things common. Are you listening to me? They were saying it's not reason, in other words, they weren't going into secular business, but it's not reason that we should be tied up with taking care of this business and neglect the Word of God. Look you out seven men among you of honest report and full of the Holy Ghost, whom we may appoint over this business. It's not reason that the minister should spend his time running the business of the church. It's going to weaken his ministry, weaken the anointing, keep him out of the Word of God. He needs to look out among his congregation, those of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom he may appoint. Or the church as a whole. May the saying please the whole group of people. Amen. I'll not comment further about that, but there's a lot you can give that. Notice the next verse. But we will give ourselves continually. Occasionally? Once in a while we'll do it? No. Continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We'll give ourselves continually to this. And the minister should do that, whether he's a pastor, evangelist, whatever his calling is. If he's going to be successful, he's not going to be full of faith without giving himself continually to the Word of God. Now, let's go on reading, however. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Then it goes on to list the names of six other men, among them Philip. He later on became an evangelist. But now skip down to the eighth verse. And Stephen, remember the other verse said, a man full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, all seven of these men are full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said so. All seven of them are. And yet you don't have any record where any of the rest of them, until God called Philip to be an evangelist, where any of the rest of them, not here at least, any of them, worked any miracles or did any wonders. And yet they're all full of the Holy Ghost. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're full of power. You can't be full of the Holy Ghost without being full of power. We in the Pentecostal movement, you see, I gathered that impression from them when I came over among them. Well, if the Holy Ghost, if the power is there, it'll work. If it don't work, because the power is not present. That's not it at all. You got to have something besides power to get the job done. You got to have faith. I tell the story many times about John Lake. John Lake says in some of his sermons, you know, that when he was 10, 12-year-old boy, his daddy, you know, and sort of like to experiment around, you know, in the area of science and chemicals and different things. And they had a little, he and the neighbor farmer had a makeshift lab set up in the barn. And so one Saturday they were going into town to get something else. They was experimenting around. And so he said to John, "Don't go near that barn. Don't you go in the barn." Well, of course, you don't tell a 10 or 12-year-old kid not to do anything, you know, until you get out of sight. He's going to be doing it. That's the reason you don't want to tell your people, don't do this and don't do that, because they'll all do it, because most of them are just kids, or spiritually speaking, you know. They don't want to see it as bad as you said it was. One church I pastored during World War II, a fellow came, and he was full gospel, but he was not of our particular persuasion. And he put up a tent right between me and neighboring churches, 3 miles away, a mile and a half from me and a mile and a half from him. And I knew something about the man's ministry. He had a good healing ministry, got people healed. I didn't agree with his theology. You can be right in your heart and wrong in your head, you know. And some way or another, God looks at your heart, you know. And so my neighboring pastor one day said to me, "What are you going to do about that tent meeting? They're putting that tent up. They're going to have that tent meeting right there between us, you know." I said, "I'm not going to do a thing in the world about it. What are you going to do about it?" Well, he said, "I'm going to get up Sunday and forbid my people to go." I said, "You're very foolish, because just as sure as you forbid them to go, they'll all go." He said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "He's no threat to me." Well, I said, "What competition is a mule barn to a grocery store? I'm feeding my people. Amen. He's no threat to me. I'm not going to mention that he's there. I'm just going to ignore him." "Well, yeah," he said, "what if your people go?" I said, "I expect them to." "Well, you mean you're not going to tell them not to go?" I said, "Certainly not." "Well, you don't agree with him?" I said, "Certainly not." Now, he forbid his people to go. He lost 7 of the best families he had, lost his property. He's making big payments on a new brick church. Well, say new, a few years old. And just like these were the best financial people. I never lost a member. It got pretty hot with some of my folks. I just made one announcement on Sunday morning. I said, "Folks, people have asked me about, is it all right to go to the tent meeting over here?" I said, "We have services here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. When we have service, I expect you to be here. If we're not having services, you know, this is America. It's during World War II, you know." I said, "Mr. Mussolini is going to die and get killed." I didn't know within a week he would, but he did. And I said, "Mr. Hitler's not going to make it. They're not running the land. This is democracy. And you go where you want to. I'm not your dictator. You just go over there if you want to. Just have as much sense as an old cow. Eat the hay and leave the sticks. And come on back over here." I never lost a member. Every church around lost people. See, the fellow built a church out of that after, you know, and he got folks. You know, I never lost anybody. Every one of my people went. Every one of them went. Someone said, "Why don't you go?" I said, "Well, I wouldn't mind going, but I'm fearful that if some saw me there, they might think I endorse all of his theology, which I don't." "Well, now, God's using the man." I said, "Certainly is, certainly is, certainly is." I'd heard the year before that helped me immeasurably. We learned one another. Just the year before that happened, just the year before it happened, I heard P.C. Nelson say, last thing I ever heard him say, we called him Dad Nelson. Last thing I ever heard him say, last time I ever saw him, because within 6 months after then, he had died and gone to be with the Lord at 70-some-odd years of age. And so I heard him say, when I was Baptist in the city of Chicago, I saw Dr. Dowie, John Alexander Dowie, in the presence of 6 of we denominational ministers, see, because, see, Dowie died in 1906, so this had to be on prior to then. And he said, in the presence of 6 denominational ministers, I was Baptist, and 5 medical doctors. The medical doctors had brought a woman that had a malignant growth. It growed inside their mouth, but it's out here like a big blue purplish eggplant, he said, over the side of her, almost as big as her head. He said, I saw Dr. Dowie say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and strip that off of her face. And immediately the doctors examined the side of her face and said, that's just baby skin. That's like newborn baby skin. All whole side of her face. Not only healed, a creative miracle. Now he said, don't tell me you can't follow the faith of a man like that. He said, you can follow Dowie's faith, but you can't follow his doctrine.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Let's talk about the offer. You know, I want to talk about our daughter's CD called Anchor Moments. You know, in this, she talks about that many times God will just illuminate a scripture to you, maybe a song, whatever, that maybe something you're going through. We're talking about storms, something that you're going through that will just help you through that.
Be an anchor to you,
anchor moments. I remember that when, you know, our son Craig was, they diagnosed him with a brain tumor, and he was having to go through surgery. That's been many, many years ago. And I said to God, God, I just need an anchor moment. I just need something that I can give my son. And all of a sudden, there was a pen that just fell out of my closet. And this lapel pin said, you can make it.
Yes.
You can make it. And I gave it to him and I said, son, God just said you can make it.
Yes.
So anchor moments. We need these anchor moments.
And then I have this Ages, Stages, and Generations. It's actually 3 CDs. These are messages I preached at the church. But this is something that we say on the back here. And it's what I talked about. The generation gap is perhaps one of the greatest issues in the church today, yet one of the least addressed. Satan wants the young to despise the old, and the old despise the young. If he can divide us, we'll never be able to do everything that we should for God. Now, in this, I talk about how that everybody, every generation is at a different area, and they like different things, but we need to be able to have cohesion instead of separation.
Yes.
And to me, this is one of the best things I ever did in the church, to help everybody understand how to work together with one another, and it really works.
That's right. And my CD, what should we be focusing on? And of course, that is the positive and not the negative. And a book by our son, Don't Be Stupid.
That's taken from some messages he preached on the prodigal son. And actually, you know, it seemed like each generation looks at things differently, and he comes up with different things over the same messages that he's heard me preach and heard his pawpaw preach. But it's just a little different take
on
the prodigal son, and I think it's really good.
That's for a gift of $35 or more.
To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his teaching, The Secret to My Success. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.